Production. Recorded live.
And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Fellow Adamites, we are seeing the cracks emerge in Babylon. We are seeing the cracks spread. I don't believe it will be too long now before we hear Babylon the Great is fallen. And Yahweh willing, we shall all be there to witness it, and all the world shall bear witness to the power of Yahweh. If you have not begun to prepare for the things which are to come, the things which you are already starting to see happen, then you'd best do so now. Now is the time to make preparations, gather supplies, make plans, and focus your efforts to keep on the straight and narrow path. Be right with the Heavenly Father, and He shall bring you through the plagues that await this doomed nation. Today is January 29, 2011, Saturday, and Pastor Eli James is joining us, mostly to take questions, give clarifications, and answer any concerns regarding last Sunday's program that some people have. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Oh, very good. Very good. Yeah, if there aren't any questions yet, I'll just go ahead and do a quick response to Bill Fink's recent article, The Last Word on the First Adam.
Well, in my reading, I actually made a summary of your show. I put basically a minute-by-minute account.
Oh, okay.
The points I'd agreed with, the points that I found were interesting and need to be discussed further, and some points that I think if what I heard is what I heard, there's a disagreement issue here. And I agree with your day-age theory in the first 10 minutes of the show when you were talking about it. But in the later half of the program, when you said, and this is a direct quote, at the 64 minutes, 55 seconds, you said about Matthew 15, from this passage, it is very clear to me that Yeshua has no intention of exterminating all Canaanites. Some of these Canaanites will be allowed to live in there wherever they were created.
Okay.
And I'm wondering,
that's actually verified in Revelation 3:9.
But where do you believe the Canaanites were created? Because my understanding has always been that they were created in the garden by Nakash.
I misspoke. If I said created, the Canaanites are obviously hybrids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I never said that Yahweh created the Canaanites. They were the direct result of
I wonder then, how can they be allowed to live anywhere since nothing that offends is allowed? And they're a hybrid.
Then why did Jesus bless the Canaanite woman and heal her daughter? Okay, that doesn't mean that they're going to be allowed to live forever. Remember the shows that we did about Abraham Lincoln?
Yes.
Yeah, and basically Abraham Lincoln was opposed to race mixing, and he wanted to send all the blacks back to Africa. And that's exactly what they started doing. The Whigs had conscripted two ships, and they were sending blacks back to Africa to get the Africans out of our population. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, when you do that, they will just simply die out. But, the blacks who are mixed with whites, they will, that hybrid seed will be sent back to Africa. And what we will be left with after so many generations due to Mendelian genetics, right, and the odds that each time you have a new generation, there's no more white genes being added into the offspring. So eventually, after who knows how many generations, I think Deuteronomy 23:2 says after 10 generations, right, that means one white gene in every 1,028 of blacks simply mate with each other, that's what would be left of white genetics in that population, okay? Now, the whole dispute is whether or not Yahweh created the blacks and the Mongolians.
Well, I think that's secondary to the issue of the Canaanites, though. So, since I don't see the Canaanites as being able to go anywhere, since they're an artificial hybrid race, and it's written that the house of Esau will be utterly destroyed by fire.
Right.
Arguably, the Edomites are of better racial stock than the Canaanites, since the Edomites are from Esau, who was of, the lineage of Abraham.
Well, Esau was at least Esau was white. He was Jacob's twin brother, right?
Absolutely. So I'm saying if the Edomites are going to burn, then how can the Canaanites go anywhere other than hell?
Well, the Edomites are simply Canaanites. It's renamed. Just because Esau married into the Canaanites didn't change their genome. He just added a few white genes to it, right?
He married Canaanites and Hittites, so basically they're all intermixed. We might as well just call them Jews.
Right.
So how can they go back to anywhere since they didn't
go anywhere?
Well,
I was referencing those mixed offspring who are primarily white. We're talking about, obviously, there's a lot of Jews out there who are full-blooded Jews, who are, you know, quarter Jews, eighth Jews, 16th. You know, at what point do you draw the line and say, let's say the a Jew or a white person has 1/100th Jewish genes, right? And he's not killed anybody, and he's not committed any crimes. And, you know, does Yahweh punish people simply because they are offspring of an interracial marriage? There's no record of Yahweh punishing those people for the crimes of their parents.
Well, he did say that any tree that he did not plant will be rooted up and thrown in the furnace.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, and that's the Canaanites.
But
and
also,
the Edomites.
He didn't plant mulatto trees. Or
no, he didn't. And I'm not saying that he did. What he did was, according to my logic and my reasoning, was and just about everybody before Clifton and Bill believed the same thing, namely that the other races were already on this planet before Adam and Eve were placed on this planet.
All right, and we have some callers. Should I? We have one in, it looks like, Northwest Illinois, and we have a guest 14.
Yeah, sure.
I may be taking a risk and I'm muting guest 14, but let's see what he has
okay.
to say. Guest 14, you're on the call.
Hey.
Yeah, hello.
Hey, this is Spray from Chicago.
Okay.
I'm a white Jewish person.
Okay.
And I was listening to what you were saying earlier about how, like, the mulatto people are going to go back to Africa or whatever. I have a different suggestion. It's
okay.
not going to be racist. It's not racist.
Okay.
I know what you're thinking, but I think that they should shave off all of their beautiful hair first and make very comfortable mattresses out of it.
Right. Yeah.
You know
okay.
what I mean, man?
All right.
Fuck the
okay,
truth.
Okay, you got anything better than that?
That guy was obviously a heckler, so
right.
when
yes.
he said he's a white and a Jew, that makes him a liar.
Right, right.
So let's go to the second caller, Northwest Illinois, and see if this person has something better
yeah.
to say.
It's probably ARA people.
Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm glad I'm on the air.
Yeah, it's the same guy.
Well, now you're off the air, caller.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's probably, yeah, and it could be a Nimbuster, too. Okay. And let me just quote Revelation 3:9. And while I'm digging that up, the question is whether or not all non-whites will be exterminated on the judgment day. Okay, and this is how I understand what Bill and Clifton are saying, because what they're doing is they're redefining all non-whites as hybrids. Okay,
hypothetically, even if they are all pure races, since there cannot be a non-Israelite name written in the Book of Life, that means that none of them get to enter into the kingdom, since it's our kingdom prepared for us before the foundation of the world. It wasn't prepared for them.
Yeah. Well,
so even if Bill and Clifton are putting forward the view that there are no pure original non-white races, is it really relevant to the fact that the kingdom is exclusive to Israelites?
Well, the white race was destined to have dominion, right? And what were we destined to have dominion over? Just four-legged animals or two-legged animals too? And they haven't proved that the non-whites were part of the original creation. This is their assumption, okay? Now, Revelation 3:9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, of course it should be Judahites, which say they are Judah and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. He's talking directly to these children of the synagogue of Satan, okay? And it's a reference back to Isaiah 60:14. Let's see what Isaiah 60:14 has to say. So at some point in time, and this is a continuation of the logic of Matthew 15:22, that there will at least be some Jews, some Canaanites, who will worship us. Okay? What did I say, Isaiah 60:12?
Well, of course, he said he's going to make them worship at our feet, but
right.
That's a prelude to their being destroyed as
well,
you know, Obadiah 1:18 in fire.
Okay, well, how do you know that's a prelude? You know,
well,
why would he make them worship at our feet and then destroy them?
They can't worship at our feet after they've been destroyed, and since it says
right, they can't worship at our feet after. Yeah, that's true.
So they have to worship at our feet before they're destroyed, and it says
okay.
There shall not be any remaining. It doesn't say there shall be
okay.
Some remaining.
Well, now that brings up my point. Do they have to be destroyed, or couldn't they be sent back to Africa and to just die off?
Well, I mean, you keep talking about the Africans and the Jews, and I'm just setting the African issue aside here for a minute to focus exclusively on the Jews and the Canaanites
mm-hmm.
and the Edomites as per Matthew 15, since Matthew 15 doesn't have anything to do with the Africans. And I'm saying that as for the Jews, it says that they will be burned and destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
The fire shall devour them. There shall not be any remaining. So how can they be sent anywhere except, you know, the ashtray in the case of the Jews?
Mm-hmm. Well, again, we're talking about a mixed breed, okay? All Jews are a mixed breed. And, well, let me bring up, let me quote, since I found it, Isaiah 60:12. For the nation and the kingdom that will not serve you shall perish, yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Okay? So that includes white nations, right? And,
well, what other nations would there be? I mean, have these savages that form loose collections of tribes, can we rightly call those nations?
What came out of Rebecca's womb?
Nations.
Yeah. Which nations?
Two nations.
Two nations, right. One was Edom, and one was Jacob.
But both were founded by white people.
Yeah, but it says two nations. The Esau by himself can't be a nation. It's the nation that he created. So Edomites are a nation. There's numerous references in the Old Testament that reference non-white people as nations. The passage that talks about when the Judahites were taken into captivity and some Babylonians from Sepharvaim were placed in Samaria. Actually, this is the taking into captivity of the 10 northern tribes. And when they were taken into captivity, Samaria was replanted with people from various different nations. Okay? I don't recall. It's 2 Kings or 1 Kings 17, something like that. Okay? And it refers to the Sepharvaim as a nation. So Bill Fink's assertion that the word nation can only apply to white nations is incorrect. The Bible routinely, not as often as our nations, but it does refer to non-white nations as nations.
Now, that may be so. One point he raised, he said that if they are beasts in Genesis, how do they become nations by revelation? Do you have an explanation or a rebuttal for that point?
I don't know what he means, become nations by revelation. They're named as nations.
If they're the beasts of Genesis, how do they become the nations in revelation? You know, these non-white people that are spoken of, these hominids spoken of in Genesis.
Well, they're here now, aren't they?
Well, they're here now.
Yeah, right. And it says, I just quoted Isaiah 60 where it says nations, and it doesn't say white nations, it just says nations.
That, if the white man in the United Nations takes a map, draws some lines, and says, okay, this is no longer the Belgian Congo, it's Zaire, that's not really a nation. That's just an artificial creation by an international body.
Right, but still, it's a nation of people. It's a nation that has their own leaders, their own people, whether they have a kind of law. Well, most of them have some kind of law, whether it's a dictatorship, right?
You say that they're still considered beasts.
Yeah, sure, a nation of beasts, no doubt. Nico Christian asks a relevant question. Evil people can come from a nation, but it doesn't mean that they will live forever, right? The formula that I have proposed for Christian identity does not involve salvation for the other races, okay? Race plus grace equals restoration. The other races don't get restoration. We're the ones who get restoration.
But when you say they don't live forever, wouldn't their race still be perpetuated indefinitely if they all go back to Africa, unless they become sterilized on the way back, or they become sterile or infertile when they get back there? Wouldn't they still perpetuate the existence of their race indefinitely?
Well, of course, as they've been doing.
To our detriment?
No, not to our detriment. We're supposed to have dominion over them, which we would have if the Jew weren't instigating them against us and taxing us to support them. Right? See, here it still begs the question. Should non-whites be allowed to exist? Okay?
Well, that's not up to us. That's not up to me. That's not up to you. That's not up to anybody except Galloway.
And that's the point I brought up at the end of the show. If Christian identity is perceived as arguing that non-whites should be allowed to live, then Christian identity is going to be perceived as nothing but pure racism.
Aren't we already?
Well, we're separatists. I've been preaching separatism. I haven't been preaching the extermination of the other races.
Well, I've never heard anybody in our circles preach the physical extermination of the other races here and now by our people.
But what's the difference? Okay, let me ask you this. Hypothetically, assume you're a non-white, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Christian identity adherent, and I say to you, you're non-white and you don't deserve to live. Goodbye. Do I have a right to say that to you if I can't prove that from Scripture?
Well, in America, you can pretty much say whatever you want.
Well, of course you can say that.
Bible.
But how many white people of the genteel kind would not take Christian identity seriously from that point on? Wouldn't we be driving them away from the kingdom rather than bringing them into the kingdom?
We're already substantially marginalized, though, and is it our task to bring people into the kingdom, or is it Yahweh's job to bring them in when he wants them to come in?
Well, Jesus said, feed my sheep. You know, if you're feeding them with lies, you're going to drive them away.
But we can't feed them with a watered-down theology that's designed to appeal to their compassion, can't we?
Well, how is this watered down?
Because when the at the Second Advent, it's very likely that the Edomites and Canaanites are going to all burn away, and that'll be the end of them. And as for the Africans, the Asiatics, we don't exactly know what happens to them, but we know they can't be in the kingdom.
Okay, all right, fine. Okay, very good. You're getting very close to my position. All I'm saying in addition to that is because of Matthew 15:22, Isaiah 60:12, and Revelation 3:9, that some Canaanites who are probably more white, let's say 90% white, 95% white, who by no fault of their own have become, you know, mongrels, have been bred mongrels, but they have not hurt any one of us, do they deserve to die too? Right there on the spot in the judgment day, or
yeah,
will they be allowed to live out their lives and just die off as, you know, as mongrels do?
But if they're one-tenth Satan, why would Yahweh allow Satan's seed to be perpetuated? Why would he allow their existence to perpetuate itself?
Again, as I mentioned last night, it's the law of genetics. It will die out, okay? The reason why
It's had 6,000 years to die out, and it hasn't died out yet.
Yeah, because they've always been intermarrying with us.
Well, weren't they told to exterminate the Edomites? Our ancestors were
told
to exterminate every last one of them.
They didn't do the job, and Yahweh had put a specific rule there. If you don't do it now, there'll be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your side until the day of judgment.
But at that day of judgment, when the kingdom comes about, if the people that are 1/4, 1/8, 1/16, 1 whatever, Edomite,
mm-hmm.
are just put in some corner of the world and told to leave the Israelites alone, 500 years could go by, and then boom, we're right back where we started, and Satan usurped God's kingdom.
No, because the Edomite genes will have bred out. You see, they need our blood to perpetuate themselves. They have to keep on intermixing with us in order to gain our intelligence, to partake of our spirit, et cetera, et cetera. They're a parasitic race who always parasitize off us, not off the other races. They can't gain any advantage by simply mixing with the other races. All I'm saying is that a half-breed is not guilty of being a half-breed. It's his parents that did the sin.
The issue,
law says you cannot punish the children for the sins of the fathers.
The existence of the half-breed is an offense to God, though. Their very existence is an offense, and nothing that offends can be allowed to exist after the judgment.
Yeah, well, exactly. But you know, he's allowing them to exist now. He allowed them to exist in the garden, right? What's the lesson? The lesson is that the whole, for the last 6,000 years, is that we white people should not race mix. That's the lesson we're learning, okay? That's the lesson we're supposed to learn. Most Judeo-Christians aren't learning that lesson. Only those of us in Christian identity are learning the lesson, okay? Now, after we learn this lesson and know it really well, why should he get rid of the races now that we know the lesson? And we've regained our Shekinah glory bodies that no one can hurt us anymore.
Well, if no one could hurt us when we had that glory, how did Eve get hurt?
She was deceived.
Well, couldn't we be deceived again?
I hope not anymore, right? That we should have learned the lesson by now.
Well, one would have thought that Eve, being the second white person ever created, would have been pure and intelligent enough to realize that, you know, this isn't how it's done. She should have known that Nakash was not to be trusted because
she had just been
created possibly even days or hours or months or years ago, but in the recent past by Yahweh. And she had a close relationship with Yahweh. He was present there in the garden, I assume.
Right. The mongrels were not planted by Yahweh, but at the same time, you don't execute the child when the parents are the ones at fault.
We execute or we do this or we do that, but I'm just saying that it's plainly written that no Edomites will be left alive. They're all kindled and devoured.
Okay, well then why did Yahshua bless the Canaanite woman by healing her daughter?
Because she told him he was the master and she recognized it. And
okay.
What was he supposed to do, throw a stone at her?
Right, well, what does it mean in Revelation 3:9? They will worship at our feet. They
will
submit themselves to us.
Well, they do that right now, too, when they're on the losing end of anything.
Well,
Cossacks. When the Cossacks are riding around in the Ukraine, the Jew starts kissing Cossack butt.
Right. But the whole question being, if Yahshua healed the Canaanite woman's daughter, we are to follow his example, right? That means, and chances are, that they were probably more white than Canaanite, okay? Is it their fault that their parents mongrelized? Okay?
It's their misfortune, though, because it means they can never be in the kingdom.
That's right, they can't. But all I'm saying is that there's no need, there's no law that says all mongrels will be executed under the law. It just says we shouldn't do that, and if we stop doing that, then there will no longer be any mongrels. There's no need to execute them, and of course, everything that offends will be rooted out. Okay?
And aren't mongrels
it doesn't mean
an offense,
it will be rooted out exactly at the judgment day.
Mongrels are an offense, though. You'd concur with me on that point.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And when the tares are tossed into the furnace, it sounds like the furnace is a less than ideal place to be.
Well, of course. That's where they get destroyed.
So the tares just aren't sent to another bread shop somewhere down the road to mind their own business and leave the wheat alone.
Yeah. Well, certainly, let's say that it's debatable as to whether any partially, you know, let's say a white person who's got one-tenth Canaanite blood.
Well, then he's not white.
Well, okay, a lot of people who think they're white may not be white.
That's unfortunate.
Okay, so you're saying that Yahweh doesn't care, even though these persons are not guilty of committing any sin except having been brought forth into the world by two mongrelizing parents?
But I would say that their existence is a sin.
But they can't be punished for the sins of their parents.
Can't they, though? Doesn't it say that certain sins will be visited on on the children?
We will all be judged by our works, okay? And the whole situation is, obviously we agree, okay, that that blacks and mongoloids, if Isaiah 13:14 can be believed, it says that all these people will go back to their countries of origin. Okay? Sure, you want me to read that passage?
If you'd like, but I've noticed too that in Jeremiah, It says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush.
Right, right.
So shall they fall among them that fall at the time I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith Yahweh. And who cannot blush?
Well, exactly. I mean, all mongrelization will cease, okay?
Well, all mongrelization will cease because there won't be anybody to mongrelize with.
But it doesn't say that about blacks and Mongolians. It doesn't say that they will be destroyed. It says, here, let me read Isaiah 13:13-14. Therefore will I shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place. We're talking about the judgment day here. In the wrath of Yahweh of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. Are we agreed that we're talking about the judgment day here?
It sounds that way,
It sure sounds like it, doesn't it? Okay. Verse 14. And it shall be as the chaste roe, and as a sheep that no man takes up, they shall every man ish, I-Y-S-H in the Hebrew.
You said we're in Isaiah, what chapter again, sir?
This is Isaiah 13, verse 13 and 14.
All right.
They shall every man ish, which means mortal, it's not Adam. It's not Adam there. They shall every man ish turn to his own people, and flee everyone to his own land. Okay? We will be given the lands that Yahweh has given us. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the question is, will these people be destroyed at the judgment day, or will, because they're innocent of any wrongdoing, just be allowed to die off? You know, obviously, we agree that no more mongrelization will ever take place. The only question is when and how.
Now, I'm wondering, is this Isaiah, has this already been fulfilled with the scattering of the tribes?
Well,
is this an issue of Babylon here?
Well, remember the prophets say that our seed will be mingled with the seed of man, that is other white people, and the seed of beast. And Bill and Clifton agree that what that means is that we will be race mixing in these latter days. Right? Okay? So this hasn't been fulfilled yet. They haven't been sent back to their countries of origin.
Well, our people, we've been scattered, yet we've not been regathered.
Well, you can say that the 12 tribes have been regathered here in America.
But all of Israel has not been regathered.
Of course not. But when we haven't regained our awareness of who we are yet. You know, we can't be regathered until we know who we are. Okay, it's just going through the motions if we don't know who we are. Okay? And I did not use, if I used the word saved in that quote, would you quote that again? Because I didn't hear the word saved in there. Bill is accusing me of saying that non-whites can be saved.
Well, you said, from this passage, it is very clear to me that Yeshua has no intention of exterminating all Canaanites. Some of these Canaanites will be allowed to live in there wherever they were created.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, where were they created, though? My understanding is that the Canaanites were satanic created.
I misspoke. I didn't mean created. Okay. Wherever they were brought forth. Okay.
Well, they're still a mongrel seed, though. How can they be allowed to live anywhere?
Well, here, let me explain.
I'm wondering, too, in Ezekiel 38, it says that it will take 7 months to bury the corpses. Who are we going to be burying?
Well, there's another passage.
Edomites.
There's another passage in Isaiah where it says that 5/6 of the nations will perish, and then 2/3 of our people will perish. So we're, again, talking about what exactly happens at the judgment day, okay? And both of us agree that mongrelization will forever end. Okay? All I'm saying is that it's not clear to me that at the judgment day that all of these mongrels will be destroyed. Okay? Certainly all the Canaanites and all the Edomites will be destroyed because the Bible exclusively says that they will.
So now you're saying that all the Canaanites and Edomites will be destroyed, so they're not going to be allowed to go back and live anywhere, even if they're only 1/8 Canaanite.
Well,
so
that's the problem because the law says, you know, obviously these Canaanites can't do any good, right? They're evil, and so are these Edomites. Okay?
So they can't have been produced by Yahweh, then they can't have been created by him since he pronounced his creation as good.
Well, that word "good" is what does "good" mean? I went through this last night. That you can't deny the existence.
Either meant good as in moral worth, or good as in correct. And clearly, the Canaanites aren't correct.
Oh, that's for sure.
Hybrid creation.
All I'm saying is we need to temper our language because we don't know how this all is going to come down. And Bill and Clifton admit that. But the problem is, and the point I'm making, is if we go around saying to the outside world that the Bible says that all non-whites are going to be destroyed at the judgment day, how are they going to take that?
Does it matter how they take it? Because we tell them the truth of who the Edomites are, and they hate us anyway. We're not to be concerned with the things of this world.
But then you're driving the flock away. I'm talking about the response of our people.
The flock's in this room right now. The flock is listening to us. They haven't been driven away.
Well, they're not all agreeing with what Bill and Clifton are saying. A lot of them are here because they agree with what I'm saying.
Guys, I don't mean to interrupt, but I got a question here for you.
Yeah. Hi, Nickel.
Yeah. What I really wanted to ask was, you know, for example, like during the Middle Ages, the popes, they allowed the Jews to live amongst Christians, even though they allowed to live in ghettos.
Right,
and
exactly.
It seems like we've allowed Jews to live in Europe, you know, for like thousands of years.
Right.
And all they've done is simply destroy us, and it goes to show that simply by allowing them to live among us,
we've
just given them a chance to destroy us in the end. So, I mean, like, only a fool will repeat his mistakes, if you catch my drift.
Of course. And I'm not saying that we should allow the Jews to live among us anymore. I'm not saying that. Mm. I'm saying that there's certain white people who have some Edomite or Canaanite blood.
But then we can't call them white anymore.
But how do, okay.
Well, by Yahweh's definition, when he said in Deuteronomy 23 to the 10th generation, not forever and ever, he was just putting out 10th generation as a number we could wrap our heads around and understand in our mind. And if you calculate out the ancestors that a person has in 10 generations, that would work out to 1 out of about 1,100. So if 1 out of 1,100 of your ancestors is something other than Israelite, then you're certainly automatically excluded. So that's an absolutely minuscule amount.
It sounds like what you're saying is that we don't have to worry about whether the other white people who are now Christians will be attracted to our message or not.
Can we call them Christians?
You're always begging the question.
I know I am, but that's a serious question. What do we call them? Those in churchianity
who worship
the image of the beast.
Jesus said, feed my sheep. It didn't say, feed my sheep who agree with me.
But aren't we doing that? Aren't we trying to feed the sheep? We don't want to feed
them.
Well,
of course we're trying to. But what I'm saying is that this proposition that Bill and Clifton have concocted is going to drive the sheep away. You understand what I'm saying?
Well,
it's not universalism. I'm not including any non-whites in our flock. Absolutely not.
I'm just saying, though, if this were a message for the world would be drawn to it, and typically most people hate the truth.
But aren't we instructed to feed the sheep and hunt? And
aren't we doing that? We're feeding them the truth.
Well,
feed them things they want to hear.
Yeah, but if you're teaching them a lie, you know, put aside the Mamzer issue. If we're teaching them the lie, and this is what Bill and Clifton are saying, if we're teaching them the lie that all non-whites will be destroyed at the judgment day, so many good white people who would come to our cause will just be rebuffed and repulsed by that idea. Now, maybe it's true, but they haven't proved it that it's true.
Well, why would they be repulsed, though? Do they have more love for these Congoids over in the jungles than they do for the message of Yeshua?
How are they going to be converted if the message is one of hatred? We're supposed to love our brethren whether they agree with us or not.
Absolutely.
Right.
But that doesn't mean we water down the message to make it more palatable for them.
Well, but what's the message? The message is separation, not extermination. That's the point I'm making.
I've never called for extermination, and I won't call for that. And I've never heard anybody in our circle call for that.
Let me say this one more time, Brian. This concocted message that Bill and Clifton have come up with says, we're not going to destroy the non-whites. Yahweh is going to destroy the non-whites because, quote unquote, he did not plant them.
Well, if Yahweh wants to do that, that's his prerogative.
Well, of course it's his prerogative.
I don't know.
We cannot put words in his mouth if that's not what he said.
I don't know exactly how things are going to play out. I do know that, of course, since it's written word for word, there's definitive, no argument can be made about it. The Edomites are all going to be burnt, period.
Right. Okay, all right. All I'm doing is raising the issue that some white people have a limited amount of Canaanite blood.
And we can't call them white, though. That's the fundamental issue.
Okay, so any Mamzer, to whatever extent, you can't accept any Mamzer, even if it's one gene in 1,000 or one gene in 1,000,000.
How could we, then? They wouldn't be God's creation.
Well, again, here's my point. Here's my point. They are not the ones guilty of the Mamzerization. It's their parents, okay?
That's unfortunate.
Listen to me. All I'm saying is they will be allowed to die off on their own, as all Mamzers would. It's not necessarily the case that they will be exterminated on the judgment day. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, I understand that view, but if they're put in their own corner of the world, they'll perpetuate their mixed race by continuing to breed incessantly.
No, they won't, because they'll be overwhelmed with blacks and Mongolians. Their gene pool will die out. The only way these Edomites and Canaanites can survive is by feeding off of us.
Well,
Genesis 3:15.
Scientifically, that idea is not really valid, though, since they've done well when they've... Look at the Yemenite Jews. They've been amongst the Arabs for centuries, over a millennium. They're still doing pretty well. They're not dying off.
Well, maybe you're right there. You know, the genetic studies show that when you allow the original race, such as black and Mongol, to live among themselves for generation after generation, they perpetuate their own race. Okay, if you try to mix in with them, see, this is what the Jews do. They specifically create their own, genome, put it that way.
All right. And we have several callers. We have Nico, Israel DNA, and Kaiser. How are you gentlemen doing?
Yeah.
Would you like to ask some questions?
Hello?
Hello, Kaiser, Israel DNA.
Right, sort of. Hello. Hey, Eli, I just wanted to ask you, I mean, the message of love is really only for our brothers and sisters. It doesn't apply to any of the other races.
Right. Okay. But that doesn't mean... here's something again. Okay. Bill and Clifton are not showing me love for the mere fact that I disagree with their teaching. That's a major issue here.
Well, because you're teaching an eventual doctrine, a doctrine that will eventually lead to a race-mixing episode. I mean, it's going to happen if they continue to exist.
Okay.
I mean, if you send the Mexicans back to Mexico... They're just going to flood across the border again and do it all over.
Not if we're restored to our Shekinah glory. See, that's what people miss. The restoration. Race plus grace equals restoration.
But Eve had all that and she lost it.
But that's because she was deceived. Are we going to be deceived again?
Well, it seems a lot of people are always being deceived.
But those are the people that are going to be weeded out of our population,
and
right?
Mexicans can't go back anywhere since Mexicans are basically a hybrid race comprised of largely Indio, Sephardic Jews.
Okay, well then, then they will die out. Okay, or they will be destroyed. I have no problem there.
Mm-hmm.
There's too much semantics here. And race plus grace equals restoration. When we are restored, we will have our Shekinah glory back. No one can hurt us again, and no one can deceive us anymore. If we haven't learned this lesson of separation in the last 6,000 years, when will we ever learn it?
Well, clearly we've had 6,000 years to learn it, and we're failing miserably.
Yes, we have, except for the Christian identity movement. We're the ones that are succeeding in teaching the racial separation.
All right, Eli, now let's carry this further then, if what you say is true. How are we going to turn the earth into a paradise with these other races existing?
We were given dominion over them. They can't hurt us once we have our Shekinah glory back. if anything like that happens, we'll stop it. When have the blacks ever been a problem for the white race? When have the Mongolians ever been a problem for the white race?
Oh, Genghis Khan.
Except when the Jews instigated them. And Genghis Khan was probably a Mamzer, right? Whether he practiced Judaism or not.
Is there any evidence of that, though?
Whether Genghis Khan was a Mamzer?
How about Tamerlane?
I think Tamerlane was. But even so, once we get our Shekinah glory back, nobody can hurt us. Okay, well, guest 41 says...
Well, is there a verse on that?
On what?
How we can be, how we're immune from harm.
That's the restoration. That's that's my understanding of how we are restored. That's what, okay. Paul says it. Our bodies will be redeemed. We're going to, incorruption will replace corruption. Okay? If we're incorrupt, we can't die.
All right.
Okay.
Oh, and it looks like there's a direct question. Eli, on a Jeremiah show, you said that salvation is staying in this world.
What I said was that the word salvation in the Bible means the physical preservation of our race. That's what the word salvation means. It doesn't mean
right.
The spiritual salvation that the Judeo-Christians teach.
Okay. And Maui Patricia has called in. Do you have a comment or a question, Maui?
Yeah, I do actually, Brian. Thank you. You know, I'm a little concerned. I'm on track with most of what's being said here, except this, the percentage issue. And I really would recommend that we, I agree with Obadiah that we need to catechize our core truths and agree to disagree on the others. And I can see why people are upset that some non-whites, you know, that if they have, you know, partial DNA somewhere down the line, I think we should let that go. I really do, my brothers, and you know, and concentrate on the core message here and let Yahweh sort that out, because he says he's going to separate the tares from the wheat, and we're not going to be able to.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we agreed that Yahweh will make that decision, okay? All I'm pointing out is that...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But my contention all along has been that this proposal that Clifton and Bill have put out is that the other races, simply because there are other races, will be eliminated by Yahweh, and there's no evidence of that. You know, obviously, Mamzerization.
Okay, here, let me ask this question that maybe we'll clarify this for, mm-hmm. for everyone that's listening, because I know there's been a lot of discussion about this. But so if there's Nephilim, you know, involvement in someone's DNA, if there's a demonic component to another race,
mm-hmm.
then I would say they are eliminated. Would you agree with that?
Okay, you blanked out at the very last couple of words there.
Okay, let me get
yeah.
off my speakerphone. That if there's a demonic component
okay.
to someone's DNA, like from Nephilim involvement
All right.
or
okay,
Edomite
sure.
involvement, would you agree that they're done, that their
yeah.
tares
oh, yeah,
and Yahweh
sure.
will separate them out,
sure.
and they're gone?
Sure,
if there's other animals on the planet
right.
That haven't been corrupted, and we can't see, like, you know, that that blacks were, you know, created by the Nephilim,
mm-hmm.
the fallen angels.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
we don't know that.
Right.
So, or you know, any other race that isn't a hybrid race, then it's possible that Yahweh will separate them out away from us, and they will not ever be allowed to mix in with us again.
Right.
And they'll either die out or do whatever he has,
right? Yeah,
so
yeah,
we don't know that.
That's basically what I'm saying. You know, our race will remain pure, and after the restoration, we will have no enemies who can hurt us ever again. Okay?
But as you said, if the Canaanites
Brian,
are going off their own land, if the Canaanites go off to their own land, though, then one, Scripture has failed, and two, they could be a threat to us, since it's written
okay.
that the Jews
well,
go in the hellfire.
Yeah.
As Maui has defined it,
well,
I agree with her, right? That if it's got Nephilim blood, yeah, then you know, we can't have Nephilim blood anymore.
As for the Negroid and Asiatic races, I don't know and don't really care what happens to them after the
okay.
judgment.
Okay, all right. Well, we agree then. We agree on that. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. All right. Now I've got another question for you, Eli. Just because I know Bill's been making a big deal out of this, and let's see if I can phrase it right. Well, I'll just start with one of them. He said he sent you something in, 2 months ago or 3 months ago, and you didn't reply to it and stuff. Was that because you didn't have time or because you didn't, have a chance to go over it and formulate that? I realize that you have a regular job. I mean, you're a tent maker and stuff. Or were you dissing him in some, way not to respond to him?
Well, first of all, even in that statement he made, he said Eli has no obligation to take his editorial advice, right? That was one of his opening statements,
right?
And I filed it away, and I was in the middle of this controversy over Lindstench, and I was planning my trip to Texas, and I took my trip to Texas, and I had already published. I didn't actually publish Beast of the Field. I had just put it on the website. I hadn't put it in my newsletters, okay? That's what I was going to do after I got back. But Bill located it on the website and started, criticizing it already, okay? Now, even if I had taken Bill's criticism in stride or as an advice, I was still not obligated to, as he said in his paper, I have no obligation to take his advice, okay? And so, that's my answer. I just didn't, by that time, I already realized that Bill and I were going to clash on this issue because he was taking Clifton Emenheiser's side. And a lot of people were privy to those emails between myself and Clifton, okay? But I wasn't sure where Bill stood on this, okay? And it was becoming he had broken with Chris Pede over this issue earlier. And so, I realized that it's not going to get me anywhere to, and his advice since then has been pretty bad, hasn't it, right? Okay, so
I've got a quick question here that Guest 41 is bringing something up, and I think this is a point that needs to be addressed.
Okay.
They're saying that if we teach people that Mexicans go back to Mexico, then girls won't mind sleeping with Mexicans. But I don't think anybody here has said that Mexicans are a race.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people here would recognize that Mexicans are a hybrid race.
Yeah. Well, most of them are. It depends on what. See, the interesting thing about the Southern Amerindians is that the men are beardless, and that indicates that they're a different race. Jews have beards, okay, because they have partially white blood, okay? So who can make that determination whether all Mexicans are Canaanites or some of them are natural Indians that have been in South America for all these centuries, right?
Well, how would they have remained Indian in the face of 600 years of Sephardic occupation?
Well, certainly the ones in Mexicans. When I say all Mexicans will go back to Mexico, it simply means that they're no longer be part of our society and we won't mix with them ever again.
Well, they won't be around to mix with because they'll get burned up because they're
Edomite. The ones who are mixed with Jewish blood, yeah, but we can't say that all of them are.
And so again, it's going to be up to Yahweh. And I don't think we're saying that Mexicans. I mean, that they won't be in the kingdom. If that white girl wants to be in the kingdom, she's got to be with a white man.
That's
Would
right.
you agree, Guest 41?
That's right. Oh, okay. You're asking 41. What I said was, Guest 41, the word salvation in the Old Testament and actually the New Testament too means the preservation of our race. Our physical preservation, and our physical preservation will be continued during the restoration when we get our eternal bodies back.
So how could this physical preservation be extended to the other races then?
Didn't I say Israel? I didn't say the other races.
But if they're allowed to go off to whatever land and continue living, they've been given
preservation. But they haven't been given restoration. Again, you're begging the question. The assumption that the non-whites will not exist after the Day of Judgment, it's an assumption. It hasn't been proved.
But the assumption that they will live is an assumption, too.
Well, okay, but it has to be proved one way or the other. stop calling me names.
I'm not saying you.
I'm talking about Bill and Clifton. They're calling me a liar and all this stuff.
Why do they have to exist after the judgment? I mean, is there a reason?
Again, it's not
our
call.
After the judgment?
We've gone over this already twice. It's not our call.
It's not our call. And even Bill says, and Bill's lying to me all along about this when I've asked him about this. And, you know, and he can yell and scream at Sam, but he said it again the other night, that this is a subject that can't be proven from Scripture one way or another.
Right.
And so I think that's one of his problems. So if it can't be proven, why are we still arguing about what goes on
because,
with non-white people?
Right,
they are not
because they
not
won't
concerned.
Let it drop. Right, they won't let it drop. In fact, that's a good point, Patricia.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Because he claimed that I lied.
They're not in our kingdom.
Right. He claimed that I lied when I listed him in the undecided category in my paper, Beast of the Field. Okay.
I'm glad you brought that up, Eli, yes. Because I think this has been a confusing point to someone. I don't think Bill ever said he was undecided. I think he was decided that it couldn't be decided from Scripture.
Right. Okay.
It's a semantic issue here. And so in he's chosen to take offense at that,
mm-hmm.
and perhaps that was not the best term to use. You can say that Bill says it can't be decided.
Right.
And you put him as undecided, and so people got confused. Bill got offended, and I think, if you have any more to say on that, please do right now. This is the time.
Well, putting someone in the undecided category as to whether non-whites will never be allowed to live after the judgment day is not that far off from saying we can't tell one way or the other.
I'm just wondering.
That's splitting hairs. That's splitting hairs. Yes.
Is there any reason you would think that they should exist after the judgment? I mean, do you have a stake in it one way or another? I mean, do you want them to exist after the judgment?
All I'm interested in is understanding the Bible, and the Bible does not tell me that they will be destroyed. Because
well, I mean, it's not clear one way or another, but do you have a preference?
Do I have a preference? No, my preference would be only whites. That would be my preference.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible says we shall have dominion over his creation.
But it also says that the body bearing will take 7+ months, and that's a long time to bury bodies.
Right. Well, that's going to include white bodies, too. Right?
Well, Eli, hold on a second. Now, in the Revelation, it tells us the sea will be no more.
Well, what sea? Remember, this is figurative language. Our people are part of that sea. The sea means people. Okay, which verse are you referring to?
Applies to the other races, obviously, not us. We're the earth. They're the sea.
Okay, well, the earth, yeah, I agree, we're the earth. But which verse are you talking about? I can't
remember. It's in the Revelation.
I have to have the verse to see exactly what that means. Okay, any more questions?
Well, as someone pointed out in the chat, and I've pointed out before, the South and Southeast Asians are largely mixed with the first Negroids who went along the coast and then ultimately settled in Australia maybe 10, 20,000 plus years ago. So I have to wonder, how many pure races can we say there are in Asia? Since you look at the Cambodians, the Laotians, the Vietnamese, the Indonesians, they're a lot darker than, say, the Koreans or the Chinese. And even the Chinese, they're mixed with the Mongolians.
Right,
and in some cases, they're also mixed with Turks and Jews, Khazar Jews.
Well, I defined last night where it says
Well, I think that's an
kind.
Interesting point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's an interesting point, Brian. And maybe animals breeding with other animals isn't an issue.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's not an issue.
It's having white blood mixed
right.
in. You know, Adamic blood. That's the problem.
Yeah. All I'm saying. All I'm
animal
saying is that
animal,
white people shouldn't
I don't
breed
think there's
with
a problem
non-whites. Right. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Patricia.
No, I'm sorry. I'm interrupting too. So.
Yeah.
And
Hold
I just
on, that...
want to apologize to everyone, Brian.
Yes.
Brian, I have to say. I was very impressed on Monday night that you kept a cool head and, you know, were able to talk about this. I wasn't so cool, and I'm not going to back down on anything that I said Monday night. I just wish I had was able to use a quieter tone of voice like you. So I apologize to everyone. I hope you forgive me. My anger was definitely showing.
And
I ask you all to forgive me for getting heated.
Right. Thank you, Patricia, because the other issue here is, should we break up, and should we hate one another? You know, there's let me read Matthew 5:22, because we have to love each other. We have to love the brethren, whether we agree with each other or not, you know, and going into this personal attack mode, calling me a liar and a heretic. And a universalist, you know, all by their own definition. You know, they're using their own defined terms to make these accusations against me, and I'm none of those things. Matthew 5:12. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Of course, we're going to be restored. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. We're supposed to have a projecting a positive, loving atmosphere here, okay? And if somebody starts calling me a liar and a heretic, this is opposite to this spirit, okay? We have to follow the law here. And treat each other with love. Treat each other's, you know, our race with love, and coming out with accusations just because I disagree with some of their doctrine is no reason for them to start calling me names.
But you would agree that this is very serious doctrine.
This
issue is a serious doctrinal issue.
It's very serious. Yeah, we have to get it right. That's exactly my point. We have to get it right. We can't assume what Bill and Clifton are arguing will be the case.
However, though, when you open the door for people that are 1/8, 1/10, 1/12, 1/50, 1 whatever, and say that they may have some place somewhere after the judgment, it almost implies that the people who create them shouldn't have to worry about what happens to their great-great-great-grandchildren because it won't really matter, because they can still be somewhere instead of being in the ash pile.
Let me go back. Now, your point that Jews always congregate, even no matter what race they're living among, you know, to create their special breed, right? And I agree with you. That can't be allowed. All I'm saying, the point I was making last night about races breeding themselves out is, if these other races have a little, you know, Mamzers within them, if the blacks have Mamzer blood with them, and if the Mongoloids have that Mamzer blood will disappear just by chance, okay? Over the generations.
Well, what I'm saying, though, is if you're saying that we shouldn't consider 1/100th or 1/1000th or whatever objectionable, then some white girl who's thinking of bedding down with a Negro, it may not occur to her that her great-great-great-grandchildren will be doomed to whatever they're
doing.
But
if they're not here, what I'm saying is they will be sent away. Sent away to Africa and Mongolia or Australia, wherever. You know, they're not going to be with us. Okay?
Well, the mulattoes can't be sent anywhere, though. I would agree. If there is a pure African race, it is possible they may go off somewhere and do whatever. I don't know for sure one way or the other, but how could a mulatto race go anywhere, because they're a hybrid race?
They're going to die out by the laws of genetics.
And again, Eli, we don't fully know exactly how Yahweh is going to separate out, you know, what's pure race, you know, what he created, is it going to be that this little cute little Cocker Spaniel Golden Retriever mix out here is, you know, he's an animal. I mean, he's mixed. I mean, is he going to be allowed to, you know, go to Retriever Land, or because he has Cocker Spaniel in him, he's done? You know, I mean, it's like, that seems to be the hairs that we're splitting here.
Well, right, and again, I'm being raked over the coals for this, okay? And the problem is, most people don't understand that breeds, such as these Mamzer breeds, have to be maintained by a breeder. And that breeder has been the rabbis.
If mongrels breed themselves out, how could there be octaroons and quintoons if the mulattoes breed themselves out of existence?
That's because they keep on breeding with a pure race.
Well, you can have a mulatto mate with a mulatto.
Yeah, and then, well, then if there's not a pure race there, they will, again, they'll simply die out.
The
breeding studies show that when you have, you know, a Cocker Spaniel and, what do you call it, German Shepherd. Which we're assuming are pure, are races created by Yahweh, right? And if you mix two of those together, you get some kind of half-breed, okay? Right? But if you stop allowing that, then it won't happen anymore.
Well, not to put you on the spot, though, but if you're going to reference these studies as a key part of your debate in theology, could you cite them? Who conducted these studies?
It's in my paper, Beast of the Field. It's all genetic stuff. It's all about hybridity. So the scientific literature in hybridity says that no hybrids are viable except those subspecies hybrids that are bred by breeders. That's the scientific literature, and I don't see how anybody can argue against it. Okay, it's all in my paper.
Well, you know, the point is, Yahweh's kingdom will be pure. I mean, there won't be
race
mixing in the kingdom, and the race mixers in there. So, I mean, I don't really see why this is, you know, why people think this is a key doctrine, that you're offering some kind of hope that you're, you know, soft selling.
Not at all. Okay. All the issue. Thanks for saying that, Patricia. The only issue is how are these stray mamzers going to be dispensed with? That's the only issue we're really talking about here. Okay. None of us are advocating race mixing ever again. Okay. And I think the opposition here is terribly fearful that this is all going to happen over again. It can't happen when we have our Shekinah glory back. You know, Isaiah says everything will be restored. A little child shall lead us, and the lion shall lie down with the lamb. It's going to be restored. Once it's restored, there won't be any problem. Okay?
Right. I agree with that. Either way, this argument, I don't really care. It doesn't involve me. I don't.
Right. Well, as long
really,
as you don't
I don't have a dog in this fight, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have any Mamzer friends that I want to see. You know,
right.
After
exactly.
The kingdom, you know.
Yeah.
You said that.
So I don't understand what the big fight is.
Yeah,
let me just say this. I just want to explain what I think is going around. I assume Bill Fink is here as a guest somewhere, perhaps,
mm-hmm.
perhaps not.
Probably.
But
is.
If he is, I'm going to say this out in the open. I said it to him privately in an email after he emailed me. He hasn't responded to my email, and we went through this last winter, and I'm saying last winter because I have found every winter, like late in the fall and in the winter, Bill gets into these intense arguments
fever.
With people that they're abusive. He's abusive with people.
Right.
And last year it was someone, and Eli, you remember we went back and forth, and Bill thought he had a right and an obligation to, quote, bitch slap people,
right.
that, you know, because
right.
of their doctrine.
Yeah,
And I said at the time that it bordered on mental illness, and
mm-hmm.
I'm rescinding that statement. No, it doesn't border on mental illness. It is
mm-hmm.
mental illness.
Right.
And to behave this way is absolutely crazy, and I know you've looked for a rational reason for this irrational behavior. There isn't one. That's why they call it crazy. And I want to say why I think Bill is tweaking,
wow.
you know, right now. I believe he has a very serious case of seasonal affective disorder.
Well,
I really do, living up in a northern climb. And he comes around come spring.
Ken must be Bill.
Oh,
he said cut her off.
Accuse somebody of a psychiatric disorder is a pretty tall accusation.
But we're supposed to love
well,
our
Well, you know what,
then.
Brian? I happen to have a background. Happen to have a background in mental health. I work in the natural health field, and I have a background in counseling and in mental health. And so I don't think I'm too far off the mark. And I'll say why I think this is the case is because I have a friend whose mom has been crazy all his life. I mean, I'm just saying, so bad to the point where they considered having her committed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, made his family's life miserable. Well, a heads up practitioner just recently, like maybe within the last 6 months, put her on 40,000 IUs of vitamin D a week. And you know what? She's a totally different person.
Okay.
On that. And also, I think there's a chemical imbalance, you know, a neurobiochemical explanation for what's going on with Bill. We went through it last winter. I actually cried at one time, when I was begging him not to take up this argument with an individual. And I was saying he wouldn't stop, and I started crying. And I think really crying was the only thing that seemed to make him back down a bit.
Right. Well, here,
now, Bill works in the basement. I don't think it has a lot of light in the winter. Listen, I get depressed in New England in the winter. I mean, it affects me. And if I was working in the basement with even less light, I'd probably slip my wrist by now.
Right.
Just want to say, you know, I love Bill. I love all my brethren. I'm really sorry he's behaving this way. It's unconscionable.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think if someone went to him, like Nathan the prophet went to King David and laid out this scenario, say, off with their head, and Nathan would say, thou art the man.
Yeah. Well, let me quote Matthew 5:22.
And know that he's completely out of line.
Okay. Let me quote Matthew.
And for people that want to side with Bill, it's like, he has said that this we can't prove either side of this argument.
Right.
I mean, that there's no side here. So why is he being so abusive? It makes absolutely
sense. If he admits
and I really
that he can't tell one way or the other, if he admits that, if that's what he said, I guess, Monday night, then why is he making such a big deal of it? Exactly. Let me quote Matthew 5:22. But I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, or thou fool, or worthless, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Okay, we're supposed to love each other, whether we agree with each other or not.
Unless I'm mistaken, I believe Bill's official position is that we can't prove Yahweh made other hominids.
And that's my position too, but Bill and Clifton are demanding that we accept the idea that Yahweh did not create them. If they admit that they can't be proven one way or the other, then why are they saying constantly that Yahweh, it's not good if he created them, right? I quoted that last night.
Now, I remember on your show last Sunday, you spoke about how you thought Bill and Clifton were teaching that no other races existed.
Right.
What was it? You said that other races existed before Adam and Eve were placed in the garden.
Yes.
And you stated that Bill and Clifton had a theory called recapitulation theory in which they deny other races existed prior to the creation of Adam and Eve. However, Clifton believes other races existed prior to the Garden of Eden creation. Bill believes that as well. Clifton says they most certainly were not created by God, and Bill says they probably weren't created by God. Unless I'm mistaken, those are their views. They believe other races existed.
Okay, well then, how were they created? How were they formed?
That's still being discussed and debated and studied.
Right, well, the only instance of hybridization is Genesis 3:1. Right? So And so if they can't demonstrate the existence of these other people before Genesis 3:1, if they rule out the Chay creature in Genesis 1:24 and 25, then when did they come into being? They need to explain that.
Their main hypothesis, I believe, is that the fallen angels had a hand in that creation.
Right, and the first instance we know of is right in Genesis 3:1, Eve being seduced by one of the fallen angels. If the other races, existed before Adam and Eve, then, you know, explain when that happened.
Well, where did the serpent come from? The serpent had to come from somewhere, too, of course.
But we're only told about that one person. You know, they're denying the existence of these other races, except if they were hybrids. Okay? And I pointed out yesterday, kind after kind, like begets like, okay? They have their seed within themselves. That's the definition of a race.
Now, they already knew evil, though. Evil was already present in the garden.
Yeah.
But wait a minute, Brian. If animals eat their young, I mean, there are types of animals that eat their young. Animals attack. They go. They hunt for prey. They do all those things. They're animals. That's what they do. And to think that these animals, you know, these other non-whites, they're animals. I mean, that's as simple as that. You know, and you expect them to have moral you know, behavior.
Yeah.
When they live under our laws, when they live under Yahweh's laws.
Under our dominion.
Outside of that.
Yeah.
Outside
under
of
our
that,
dominion.
No, they don't. So why do you expect them? You know, really, Clifton's position, it really promotes it leaves the door open for universalism, not Eli's.
Yeah.
I mean, if we leave that these people are all animals, that pre-Adamic people are animals, that only white people have Yahweh's spirit, then there's no argument here. They can't be elevated to the status of men.
Right, they won't
these
be.
These animals they're good. I believe these animals are good. Yahweh created them
good.
Oh, they're
good at picking cotton, right?
I mean,
they're good at picking strawberries.
However,
they're top-of-the-line animals. They sing, they dance, they use their hands, they walk upright. They're top-of-the-line animals.
Yeah.
I mean, what's not good about that?
Towards the end of your show last Sunday, you made a statement that some people have seen as an appeal to emotion, saying that Clifton and Bill's theory was a dangerous theory, and
yes.
Some people thought that you were implying that they could be categorized as terrorists, saying that they advocated the extermination and the outright genocide of other races.
Well,
that's a rather severe accusation to make.
Okay, let that be the last question because I have to prepare for 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
They're a hair's breadth away from saying that, right? Because every Christian that's not in the Christian identity movement, right now, okay, who thinks that we advocate the extermination of all non-whites will simply give us short shrift and say, oh, these people are a bunch of kooks. There's no way we can participate with them.
They
right?
already think we're kooks.
Hold on, Eli. Now, hold on.
Yeah.
Bill and Clifton have never advocated extermination of any of the other races, and you know that.
But they're saying that Yahweh is going to exterminate them at the judgment day.
Well, I know
because they're hybrids by redefining them as hybrids.
Bill repeatedly has told people that Yahweh will handle things to the point that some people have accused him of calling for inaction rather than calling for action.
That's vague. What does that mean?
Right. And so but I went over that with Bill several times on Monday night that Eli was not saying that he's calling to the extreme. No, he's saying that they are in the camp that Yahweh is going to annihilate all the other races.
Right.
And he refused to accept that. He argued with me childishly about it. And, he refused to see that he's wrong about that. He's looking for things to argue about.
Well, it's passing the buck to Yahweh. They're redefining blacks and mongoloids as hybrids. Okay.
Well, a lot of
and
them
then,
are,
listen to me now, Brian. They're redefining blacks and mongoloids as hybrids, and that gives them the excuse that they shall be exterminated at the judgment day. Therefore, listen to me. Therefore, they will pass the buck. They're passing the buck to Yahweh. They're not calling for their extermination. They're saying Yahweh teaches us that they will be exterminated. But they haven't proven that those races are not races. They're redefining them as mongrels. In order that they should be exterminated. Don't you get the difference? How subtle this is. Understand what I'm saying?
Well, we do know that the number of the enemy is as the sands of the sea, and they shall encompass the camp of the saints, and then fire from heaven will devour them.
Okay, no problem. What's
it doesn't
the problem?
Say fire from heaven will remove them to yonder place.
But again, the issue is he going to destroy the other races if he created them?
Well,
okay.
He's destroying an awful lot of white
people. What they're saying
is
he did not create them. Therefore, they will be destroyed. But they have to prove that. They can't assume that. They haven't proven it. Don't you get my point here? It's a logical point. Patricia, do you understand what I'm saying?
I do understand what you're saying, Eli. You know,
yeah.
And I don't understand why we still have to talk about this. I really don't. It's silly, and I think we're trying to draw off the fact that other people have been unloving, unkind, unchristian, uncharitable, call it whatever you want, immature, you know, and out of line, and that's say is horrible behavior. I mean, and it makes us, doesn't matter what we know, we're just clanging cymbals if we don't love our brethren, and this is just showing a huge, you know, lack of love for the brethren, and it's very sad. I say that's the saddest part about this argument. right. all over animals. We're arguing.
Right.
White people
right.
are arguing over
yeah,
animals.
And
it's
what's
ridiculous.
Happening is we're no longer loving each other because of this issue. Okay? And Gerald's making a good point. We have to get to the truth. Okay? We have to get to the truth. And no one has proven to me that Clifton and Bill's scenario is true. Okay?
And you know what? Iron sharpens iron. You know, and if we're going to, we can't brow people. I think R.P. Wake always says, a man changed against his will is still of the same opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really pay to browbeat people and to argue with
right.
them. I mean, I think we should be reasonable and loving. And if I know someone loves me and is concerned for me, I'm willing to listen to them and hear them out and do the research and look for
yes.
myself and trust the Holy Spirit and pray about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see why we have to be so pedantic. I don't get it.
Right. Well, it's because he and Clifton have taken a firm position on this issue, and that anybody who you know says something different or contradicts them is a heretic and a liar. You know, I mean, that's unfair. That's unfair when they have not proved their potential. Okay? Jesus would never allow that. Again, Matthew 5:22. Don't hate your brother without a cause. They have no cause to hate me.
Yeah.
Just because I disagree with them, that's not enough cause to hate me. You can't put me on trial for disagreeing with you on this issue.
I don't think they hate you, Eli.
Well, I hope not. They sure have acted like they hate me, though.
Well, I know.
They got all these emails calling me a liar, a heretic, et cetera, et cetera.
Clifton sounded very hurt, Bill, too, saying that you materially misrepresented them. Some of their stances on
I have not. I have not. Every time they every time they say I've misrepresented, it's been a lie. I've proved it over and over.
Well, one thing they pointed out is that
even if he had, is it worth destroying the fellowship about?
Yeah, but
is it worth coming out and calling someone a liar and a clown and a heretic and
a Jew?
No,
right?
That's
even calling
unacceptable
me a Jew
response.
Now. Yeah. If we can't argue about this rationally, it's their side that is irrational here.
In Bill's view, you're committing a heresy. It's not that that you hate your brother for what he did to you. It's talking about if you're an enemy of God, you have to hate the enemies of God. And
okay.
You're committing a heresy.
Okay, I do hate the enemies of God. I do
hate
them. Who said I don't hate the enemies of God? Okay, but they're trying to redefine races as hybrids in order to make them an enemy that they aren't. Do you get what I'm saying?
Clearly not an ally of our race. And I personally have never heard Bill advocate the physical extermination of anybody. He's basically just said that Yahweh will take care of whatever Yahweh wants to take
right.
care of.
Okay.
I don't see that as a cop-out, though.
Let me make this one more time. If good Christians see the Christian identity movement
aren't
as advocating the extermination of all non-whites, okay, simply because we have reinterpreted Genesis 1:24-25 to mean non-whites because we're calling them hybrids, that's passing the buck and saying, well, the Bible says it, not us.
Well,
that's
I
a contrived
that,
argument.
But if they were good Christians, wouldn't they be here with us right now?
We're supposed to bring them in, Brian. How do you convert
Brian,
people?
The workers that come at the last hour
right.
get paid the same as the people that have been there all day.
But they're not hired by
really,
us. They're hired
I'm
by the master.
I'm grateful that the...
Aren't there any people out there
I'm
worthy of conversion, Brian?
They're sheep.
Aren't there any white people out there worthy of conversion?
Is it enough to God to convert them? He said that we did not pick him. He picked us.
But we're supposed to be the hunters and the fishers,
aren't
we?
No, he said we're supposed to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send workers out.
That's
where
right.
are the workers, Brian?
It's not a done deal. That's our job.
How can they hear without a preacher?
Okay, do you get our point here, Brian?
I'm still meeting people and sharing the good news with them, and the good news is that, you know, the true gospel. I still do that. I had an opportunity just the other day, and you don't. And I make sure that I promote the message. I don't tell them any untruth, but I don't tell them the deepest truth. Like you know, you, you, know, I start with who we are, and I think it's really important, and I've gone over this, that we have an elevator pitch message that we can draw people along with, that they can get who they are and then get into the deeper truth that many people are offended by because of the brainwashing they've been through.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think in shooting off both barrels at people is doing our brethren any favors.
Yeah,
we're keeping them away.
Yeah,
we're not watering down the message. We're just taking it in baby steps
radicalizing it to the point
and then move forward in their own strength.
Yeah, this radicalizes the message to the point where no good whites will possibly be converted. That's the problem here.
We're all here, aren't we, good whites?
But there are whites out there who haven't been converted yet, Brian. Look
absolutely,
outside of your
mind. You said no good whites will be converted and we won't have any good whites here, aren't we good whites?
Now you're playing word games. Let me put it this way. No convertible. There must be convertible whites out there, right?
Well, I'm just saying, I'm here and I didn't have to hear a watered-down message to get here.
What watered down?
Oh, well, good, Brian.
Well, I mean, if someone comes along and says, you're playing word games here. If someone comes along and says, what about my 1/16th grandson or my 1/16th whatever, this and that, we don't tell them, oh, well, they have a place over here in La La Land.
Didn't I say that they'll be cast out of our presence and we will be restored? What more do you want?
Okay, well,
did it have to be executed in front of your face before you'll accept the possibility that Yahweh will handle it on his own? The point is that we should not be saying that all non-whites will be exterminated because it's not true. The reason why Bill and Clifton are saying this is because they have redefined them as hybrids. That's not true. They haven't proved that.
Hmm. Well, that remains to be seen.
They haven't proved
what exactly they are.
Now, if we start saying that Yahweh is going to exterminate them because they're hybrids, any good potential converts will say, these people are just full of hate. And that's what they'll think.
Well, I don't know if there's anything we can do to enhance our public image because the ADL has already convinced them that we're disciples of Satan.
Again, Brian, we can't be preaching a doctrine that hasn't been fully proved. And that's what Bill and Clifton
really,
are doing.
Don't you think there's enough of the CI truth to take up hours and hours of discussion with people without getting to this point?
Right.
Don't you think just going over the Abrahamic covenant with a Judeo-Christian would be enough? That takes hours.
Right.
Do you really think this is an important doctrine that we need to cover right off the bat with some white person?
Yeah.
No, you're being ridiculous.
Well, Eli, on the same token, when you said that Bill and Clifton can't prove they're hybrids, on the same token, though, you can't prove they're pure because we don't really know what they are.
Okay, we already agreed to that.
Bingo.
So it's not really an immediate issue that we should spend so much time.
Thank you very much.
Dealing with.
And we shouldn't be saying it either because they Bill admitted, can't tell one way or the other. So why are you insisting that we teach it?
Well, I'm just wondering why leave the door open for them and say that they have some place somewhere when we don't know where their place is or where they're going to be, and it doesn't really matter.
I'm concerned about our own race who will be repulsed by this idea. They can't be converted if you drive them away with a message that they will perceive immediately as racial hatred, period.
Well,
don't you get what I'm saying?
No, just in a slightly different way. I mean, if we're supposed to be separate, and you're not supposed to accept these people as your equals, how can you possibly think that's a message of love?
Who,
and they're going to accept that as a message of
love. Who's speaking?
I'm sorry, this is Kaiser.
Kaiser? Okay. Think in terms of your brothers who have yet to be converted to Christian identity. Okay? That's the target audience. Okay? If you're driving them away with a message that they perceive as motivated exclusively by racial hatred, the ADL is going to love this, right? The ADL is going to have a field day with this message if we start teaching this, okay? How are you going to reach those people? Your next-door neighbor, your white next-door neighbor, if you have one, and you go out there and say, all non-whites are going to be exterminated.
Wait a minute now. You're twisting this message like... just
no one's proposing we knock on their door and say, greetings, we're from the the Assembly of Yahweh or the Church of the Covenant, and we say all non-whites are going to be exterminated. That's a ludicrous notion that anybody from our circle talk to someone that way.
Brian, this is how those Christians are going to perceive this message. Whether we say that God is saying it or we're saying it, it's not going to matter to them.
Yeah, but Eli, regardless of how you put this, you're not going to get around this racial message that they're going to perceive almost immediately. If Israel's going to be saved, then they're going to say, well, what about everybody else? You're not going to get around it.
Aren't we only worried about the remnant?
The remnant, who is the remnant? The remnant are us and those Christians, white Christians, who have yet to be converted to understanding who the remnant is, okay? And if you're telling them, if they already believe, as most Judeo-Christians do, and most of them are white, right? If they look at us as nothing but a bigoted bunch of rape-haters, they'll never listen to anything we say. It's over. We're not going to convert any of them. That's the point I'm making. I don't know why you didn't get to understand this point.
The fact that they're going to view this as a racial message, regardless of whether they see it from your point of view or from Bill's point of view.
Well,
but
they're
see,
going
that
to be
point
offended
of view, it comes with hatred. Look at the anger and the lies and all the things that have come with this message so far.
Well, as soon as you tell them that their favorite Negro football player won't be in the kingdom to entertain them by throwing around a football, they're going to be offended.
Well, right. Well, we have to train them not to be offended by them, by that. Okay? I don't understand why you can't get what I'm saying here.
Well, I don't think Clifton and Bella...
We're trying to tell them, don't worry.
Hey.
Don't watch that football game with Negroes. We're not interested in Negroes. But if we're telling them that God says he's going to come and exterminate all those football players and they've never heard anything else before, that's extreme.
And you're going to hell for watching the Negro felon
Yeah, thing. Right, yeah.
I mean, is that the message you're telling people?
Yeah.
Jeez.
The message that Bill and Clifton are putting forth is what they're doing, is they're twisting God's word into saying that he says that all Mamzers are going to be exterminated. But what they've done is they've redefined blacks and Mongolians as Mamzers, putting them in that category by definition. They have yet to prove that, and they have admitted that they can't prove that. Okay, I have to prepare for my 7 o'clock show.
All right, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Okay,
God bless.
God bless everybody. Bye.
That's your voice, Eli. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Brian.
God bless.
Thanks, everyone. Bye now.
Bye.